Turn with me, if you would, now to Romans chapter 11. Romans 11. I received a letter from a brother who is very dear to me. Just a dear, dear brother and his precious wife. And in his letter, he was talking about some of the trials that have been going on. Some things that he and his wife have been going through. And just some different difficulties that have been taking place. Just different things and different trials. But right after he mentioned those things, he wrote in his letter, he said, "Thankfully, God still has a remnant." In spite of all these things, all these sorrows and all these troubles and all these trials, thankfully, God still has a remnant. When I read that, I said, amen. Amen. Thank God he still has a remnant. And this verse of scripture came to my mind. Romans 11, verse 5. "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace." He said, even at this present time also. Isn't that good news? Even at this present time also. God has always had a remnant. He still has a remnant. And he will forever have a remnant according to his election of grace. Now, if we're going to rejoice in the fact that he has a remnant, you can announce that to people. You can say, God still has a remnant. Thank God. Thankfully, he still has a remnant. And if we're going to rejoice in that, if we're going to get a hold of that and be happy about that, we have to know what a remnant is. We need to understand what that means. If we're going to rejoice, we need to understand what that means. A remnant is a small leftover part. That's what it is. It's the non-usable part of whatever something was intended for. Something is made for a particular purpose. It's intended for something. And it's just the non-usable part. It's the throwaway. That's what it is. It's just the throwaway. It's just the scrap. It's just the worthless part. That's what a remnant is. Usually when you say the word remnant, people think of carpet. It's the part that is no good for any room. What was carpet made for? One thing. It's the part that is no good for that purpose. No good for any room. Of no value to any room. Is there any value for any room in the house? Nope. If the Lord is willing, there will come a point in our new church building where we have some carpet installed. That seems like eons away. And that's going to be a glorious moment. I was writing this little illustration down and I thought, man, what a moment that'll be when we have carpet installed. we'll rejoice. But there will come a point when we call a carpet company and they will come over to that building and they will install carpet for us. And I'll tell you what we're not going to do. I'll go ahead and make an announcement from the pulpit. This is what we're not going to do. We are not going to call that carpet company and say, could you just bring a bunch of remnants over here and just piece all that together? Just whatever you have, just different, just attach it all. We're not going to do that. We're just not going to do that. Remnants are too weak for us. They're too weak for us. Remnants are too base for us. We're too good for remnants. That's what that means. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that at all. Should we do that or should we not do that? How about let's not? Should we do that? Should we just say, you got any remnants and you can just saw it? How about not? Remnants are those things that are not. Remnants, not. In utter kind humility. I mean gracious, loving, pitiful humility. Do you know who God chose to decorate His house with? A bunch of remnants. A bunch of remnants. His glorious house. He chose a bunch of insufficient, worthless in themselves, good for nothing remnants. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. You're going to join a bunch of remnants together? That's foolish. That is so foolish. Verse 27 says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, a bunch of remnants. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Thankfully, we worthless sinners can right now say, thankfully, in spite of our wretchedness and our lowliness and our insufficiency and our misery, thankfully, the declaration goes out. God still has a remnant. Thankfully, God chose to save a remnant. Thankfully. Turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah 1, verse 2, it says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city." You know what that means? That means we're worthless. We're ruined. We're good for nothing. That means He ought to just throw us away. But thankfully, God still has a remnant. Verse 9 says, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." We would have been like Sodom, and we would have been like Gomorrah, but that says we should have been like Sodom, and we should have been. Had God not left a very small remnant, had He not chosen a very small remnant, but thank God, in His mercy and in His grace, He chose to save a remnant. We would have burned in the fire and brimstone of His judgment. But because He chose to cover His remnant in the blood of His Son, because He chose to give the indescribable value, let's think for one little moment of how much Christ is worth. Think of the value of Christ. Indescribable value. He chose to give the indescribable value of His priceless Son. We have some things on this earth that we say are priceless. I mean, if it's here, it's here. If it's gone, it's gone. You want to see priceless? Just look at Christ. Just look at the blood of Christ. He gave His priceless Son's life in order to pay a great sin debt of a worthless remnant. Just a worthless remnant. And because He did that, in the precious and priceless blood of Christ, His remnant is saved. Value has been placed on them. When God the Father looks at them covered in the blood of His Son, He sees value. Indescribable value. And His remnant is spared the only end that they're worthy of, because they're joined together with Christ, joined together with Him. Paul said in our text, he said, that's what you call an election of grace. That's what you call it. He said it's called an election of God's grace. Now, I wrote right here, I don't know why. I do know why. But I don't know why. The flesh of man naturally hates God's election so much. Why do we, in our flesh, in our nature, despise it, reject it? It's the most beautiful and loving and glorious truth that has ever been told. If you want to hear the happiest thing that's ever been told, it's thankfully God still has a remnant. Thankfully, God elected some people. Thankfully, He elected some people to save. Had God not elected some people to save, nobody would have been saved. Nobody. We would have all, and we should have all, been like Sodom and Gomorrah. The flesh naturally does not like election because it doesn't want salvation to be in God's hands. That's tough for men and women to get over. You mean to tell me it's all in His hands? You mean it's His decision? That's why. Man naturally wants salvation to be in his own hands. Man naturally wants God to leave him alone and let him do his own thing. That's what man wants. But the flesh doesn't realize that if God leaves a man alone, all he'll do is send himself into destruction. That's all he'll do. The only hope that any soul has of being saved is if God won't leave that soul alone. That's the only hope. It's if God will not let a man do his own thing. Because all he can do is sin against God. That's all he can do. Election is God stopping a man from sending himself into destruction. Men and women are going the broad way that leads to destruction. Our Lord said, "Beware of Broadway." Everybody's heading into destruction. And election is God stopping a man or a woman from running headfirst into destruction and forcing that man or woman into salvation. Forcing that man or woman into Christ. Election is unto salvation. That's what election is. It's unto Christ. Election is into the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an old story that is told of a preacher who pastored a long time ago in a little village somewhere. And one day he was out working in his garden in the front yard. And a woman was walking down the street who did not attend where he pastored, and she didn't agree with him. But she saw him in his front yard, so she thought, "Well, I'm going to stop and I'm going to ask him something." So she walked up to his picket fence and she said, "You preach election, don't you?" And he said, "I'm sorry, what?" She said, "You believe in election, don't you? You preach election." And he said, "I do. That's what the Word of God teaches." And she said, "I can't go along with that. I just cannot go along with that. I don't see how anybody could believe that." And he said, "Well, let me ask you a question." He said, "Who saved you? Did God save you? Or did you save yourself?" And she said, "God saved me." And he said, "Well, did he do it on accident? Or was it on purpose?" And she said, "Well, he saved me on purpose." And he said, "Honey, that's election. God saving a particular person on purpose. That's election. That is election." People say, "Show me that in the Bible. Show me that in the Bible." Okay. God said He was going to destroy the whole world with a flood. God, from the throne, looked down on man. And He saw that man was only evil continually. That's all man did. And it grieved the Lord that He made man. And He said, "I'm going to destroy man from off the face of this earth." God purposed to destroy the whole world with a flood. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's election. That is election. Noah was elected to be in that ark. That ark was Christ. God chose who He wanted to put in that ark. That's election. Abel, not Cain. Isaac, not Ishmael. Jacob, not Esau. Israel, not Egypt. That's election. Our Lord said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Only the ones that He gives to me will come to me." That's election. Who will come to Christ? Here's the message. Come to Christ. Do you know why we preach the message, come to Christ? It's because we have no idea who the elect are. So we tell everybody, come to Christ. And do you know who will? All that the Father has given to Christ. They'll hear it. They'll believe it. And they'll come. That's election. He said in John 15, verse 16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I've called you." That's election. In John 17, our Lord said, "Father, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them." That's election. In Acts 13, verse 48, it says, "As many as were ordained to eternal life believed." That's election. Ephesians 1, verse 4 says, "God the Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." That's election. Election is God in mercy and grace choosing to save some sinners in spite of what they are. A bunch of worthless, unvaluable remnants. He said, "Those are my people. I'm going to make them my people. That's who I'm going to make to be my people." Go with me back to Romans 11. Verse 1 says, "I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid." Paul told the Corinthians, he said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." Just like that letter that brother wrote to me. That's what he was saying in his letter. We're troubled on every side. But he went on to say, we're not distressed. When he said what he did, that's what he was saying. We're not distressed. Paul said, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Why not? It's because God will not forsake His people who He has chosen. He will keep His remnant forever. Verse 1 says, "I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew." You know what that word foreknew means? Elected. God will not cast away His people which He elected, chose, foreknew. Know you not what the Scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel? He prayed to God, Elijah, prayed to God, saying in verse 3, "Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life." Elijah thought he was the only believer left. That would be so terrible. That'd be so terrible if you thought you were the only believer left. I am so encouraged by my fellow believers. And that poor man thought he was the only believer left. And he thought that the trials and the troubles and the tribulations of this life were just not worth staying here for. There's no other believers. What is the point of staying here? And he thought it was just more than he could bear. He prayed, "Lord, just take my life. Just let me come be with you." Verse 4, "But what saith the answer of God unto him?" How did God respond to him? He said, "I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal." And Elijah, you need to preach the gospel to them. Be encouraged. Keep preaching the message that I've given to you. I still have a remnant out there. I still have a people that I've chosen to save. Be encouraged. There's a remnant out there. There's a chosen people. And God said, "I still have a people that I've chosen in my mercy to bring to myself. There is still an election of grace." Keep preaching the gospel. Keep preaching the message. Verse 5 says, "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works." Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. That means if it's by grace, then it is not by works at all. And it is by grace. God said, "By my grace are you saved." And he said, "Don't you ever preach works to my remnant ever again. Don't do it. Not ever again. You comfort them." That's what he said. "You comfort them. You comfort my people. You comfort my remnant. You tell them that I know they're insufficient. I know they are." Oh, I'm so insufficient. Who is sufficient for these things? You know, a man says, "I'm so insufficient to preach." That's true, but we're all insufficient to believe. We're all insufficient to hear. If he doesn't make us hear, and if he doesn't make us believe, we won't. We're so insufficient. "I know you're insufficient. You tell them, I know that they're not worthy of me choosing them." I know. "You tell them, I know that they'll never live up to the high calling that I've given to them in Christ Jesus. But you tell them this is not by their works. It's not by who they are and what they are. It's by my grace. It's by who I am and what I've done." And in hearing that, my people will be able to say, "Thank God. Thank God he still has a remnant. Thank God." The world may be crumbling. It may be. Sin is ruining us. It's just ruining us. It's ruining everything around us. But thankfully, God still has a remnant that he purposed to save. And in Christ, that remnant is safe for all eternity. It may be bad news, bad news, bad news. But thank God, in Christ, that remnant is safe for all eternity. Thank God. Thankfully, God still has a remnant. All right, let's all stand together.